we need to start talking about the Rangers, though. My hope is that the Rangers feed off of what the Knicks did in the Garden, and they understand that they're not facing elimination, and they understand that they're up in the series, and they understand that they need to turn it back up. They need to have a sense of urgency out the gate and play like they want to end that series and not end up in another Game 7, which I'll just leave it at that. 877-337-6666. Jason is in Brooklyn. Jason, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. First thing quickly about the Knicks, then I'll get to the Rangers. Big win. Big win. It's a big thing, especially with this 30 points. That momentum bringing them back to Indiana. Even if they lose, they won't be crushed. It will be close. And then they'll come back to the Garden. I have faith in the Knicks.
I think you got to have faith. I think, obviously, the series doesn't start until somebody loses a game on their home floor. Right now, the Knicks won all three games on their home floor. The Pacers won there, too. Let's see what happens in Game 6. Even if they lose, you feel good about them taking the series. When the series started, I said Knicks in 7. We very well could see Knicks in 6, but they're showing you the toughness. They're showing you they're the better team with the better player. And when the referees are doing their job and it all seems fair and even or whatnot, the Knicks are the better squad. They're better than the Pacers. The Pacers have a bunch of random dudes.
That's right. Now, about the Rangers, here's the thing. Everyone's getting all scared now. Oh, no, 2 games, and that's going to be another 2 games. Before the series started, nobody was saying the Rangers are going to sweep. Nobody was saying the Rangers are going to win in 5. They were saying the Rangers in 6, Rangers in 7. All right, I have faith in the Rangers. I think they're going to win Game 6. They were sloppy in Game 5. I was there. I couldn't believe it. The entire game, horrible defense. They were just letting them walk into the zone. It wasn't Igor's fault. He was playing amazing. They got to realize that they're not playing the Washington Capitals. They're playing an amazing Carolina Hurricane team, and they got to step up, and they got to take this Game 6 to the conference finals.
Well said, Jason. Thanks for the call, and I think they can, and I think they will. There's a lot of pressure involved with that Game 5 coming back home, knowing you can end it. And I think that they were sleepwalking a bit. I think going into the third period, up 1-0, it's like, okay, we just got to survive this third period, not give anything up, and we win 1-0. And then the Carolina Hurricanes, with their backs against the wall, desperation, urgency, fighting for their season, they came out there on fire and took it from them. They wanted it more. So the series continues. And Jason brings up a great point. Man, going into the series, if you get outside of New York, the Carolina Hurricanes were favored to win the series. Even though the Rangers won the President's Trophy, even though the Rangers swept the Cavaliers, you know what I'm saying? The series wasn't supposed to be a sweep. And I think I heard P.K. Subban say this, that losing a couple games, having to dig deep and find it, having to go through some adversity is good for the Rangers. Right? Because imagine they did just sweep the Capitals, sweep the Hurricanes, and then get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's like, nah, you gotta take a loss. And sometimes you gotta lose to know how to win. You take it on the chin, you come back better for it. 877-337-6666. Jack is in Queens. Jack, you're on the Fan.
Yo, how's Jack. It going?
It's going good. What's up, bro? You're on.
Yeah, so Alicia and myself, right, obviously you got teams like us, you know, early round exits, keep losing in the playoffs, and then, you know, teams like us, you got to push the reset button, you know, rebuild your core, fire the coach, rebuild management, right? And so at what point do you press the reset button for the Rangers? Because, I mean, you look at the past 10 years, right?
Wait, what?
Because, like, no, because, look, like, granted, like, they made it farther, right? They made it third round, second round. But they've never actually won. And, like, who's their core, right? All in their prime, last years of their prime. Time's ticking. I don't know what to say.
No, I think you got to stay present. I think you got to live in the moment, in today. We're not talking about what happens after the season. They're up. They're a game away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're not talking about, like, I don't know. Like, you're talking as if they are already eliminated.
No, I'm saying whatever happens, time's still running out.
Time's running out on everybody.
Yeah, but this is a team that's, look, Kreider's, that's why they, what, that's 32, why
they got
34?
Rid of, they got rid of Gerard Gallant. That's why Peter Laviolette is running the squad right now. Now is the time. Like, this is the year for the Rangers to get back to the Cup and win it. And they're one game away from advancing to the last round that you have to advance through to get to the Stanley Cup.
Right, and if they don't make it this year, then it's the same.
We don't know about next year. We can't fast forward to next year. We can't predict next year. We have no idea.
Yeah, all right. Yo, shout out to Hesh and shout out.
I don't know what's going on. I was letting him give his shout-outs. I didn't cut the phone. He hung up. On his boy's shout-outs. Let's go. Let's get it together, folks. All right, I'm going to bring Alex in. So I'm on Twitter. And, you know, Twitter is a fake place. You can be whoever you want to be on Twitter. I chose to be myself on Twitter. It's worked out pretty well for me, I have to say. But I understand that, you know, there was a long time that I was on Twitter trolling Knicks fans. What I say is punching up as a New Jersey Nets fan or a Brooklyn Nets fan, the dysfunctional Brooklyn Nets. But, like, I did spend a lot of that time doing Nets podcasts and not hosting on WFAN. Being on live during Knicks games or being on live after Knicks wins, like how corny would I sound coming on after tonight's game, last night's game, and hating on the Knicks? Yeah, whatever. I'd sound like Draymond Green. I'd sound like some of these other goofies in the media that can't just look at the game, take their own personal feelings out of it, their own fandom out of it, or whatever team they play for, root for, whatever, take the past history out of it, and just watch the game. The Knicks are tough. They play good basketball. They have a system. They believe in each other. They're on a special run. And it's got nothing to do with the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are cooked. But I see people like, oh, you know, tagging me as if I'm pretending. I'm not pretending. I'm doing my job, stupid. Like, what are you talking about? I see one tweeted, he calls himself a Nets fan, but since the team is not good, he's off the wagon and onto the Knicks wagon. No, I'm not. You'll never see me with any Knicks gear on. I'm not pulling up to these games. I'm betting on the games, but I bet on every game. I was betting on the Rangers the other night. I think some of you are confused. Like, I get paid to talk New York sports, and that trumps my fandom or the past or me as a Nets fan who always had to punch up at Knicks fans, and while the Nets were sweeping the Knicks, oh, it was glorious. But the Nets are a laughing stock now. We shouldn't even be wasting this much time on them. Alex, what do you say as a fellow Nets fan watching this Knicks run? If you were in my chair, how would you approach your nightly shows?
You have a pretty tough position, to be honest. But at the same time, there's no reason to not like good basketball because, I mean, again, I'm not... Every time I say, I don't say much on the air, and when I say I'm just not saying it because I'm hopping on the bandwagon, once they made the trade for OG Anunoby, I've been saying that the Knicks are the second best team in the East behind the Celtics, and they have a really good defense. I always thought Hartenstein was better than Mitchell Robinson, and look what he's doing, 12 offensive rebounds is nuts. They'll get it done. I don't know if it'll be 6 or 7, but they'll get it done. It would just be a really interesting series against Boston. And as a Nets fan, yeah, look, I know how good they are defensively. Do I want them to win the whole thing? No. But at the same time, they're like literally every game before tonight and game 5, it was going down to the wire. They were entertaining games. So what's not to enjoy about NBA playoffs?
If you're an NBA fan, don't you watch the playoffs every year?
Right now, Nuggets and Timberwolves right now, and I'm enjoying it. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I always say this. I'm a sports fan first of, like, the sport, of the actual sport, and then it's my team.
Anyone that listens to me can tell that I am aware of what goes on in all of baseball, basketball, football, more now NHL. I am not putting my fandom in front of hosting a good show. I'm not putting my fandom in front of you. How lame would that be if you turn on the fan expecting somebody to talk about the game and instead they're projecting their fandom and being a hater and rooting for you to lose. Nah, I want people to enjoy things, man. If it was my team, I'd want the same energy. And like as Nets fans, right, when the Nets were having their little run, I could tell. I remember talking to Evan before I got on the radio. I had Evan on my Nets podcast. And I was like, Evan, you're our only voice. You're the only one that represents us. Because all of the talk around the Nets was always slanted because it was guys that root for the Knicks in New York talking about the Nets. And they were kind of salty about the Nets having the superstars. Oh, how quickly that faded out. Oh, how quickly the Knicks got it now. And the Nets are paying Ben Simmons to show up to the Met Gala with a clock on his suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not great. It's going to be another transition year for 2024, and who knows what's going to... And of course, every time we trade our picks, they end up being top three, but when we have them, they just don't...
Oh, just more salt on the wound, adding insult to injury
and
this
I know
week.
A lot of people
number three
think,
pick traded to the Rockets that they wanted to send back to us.
Yeah, it's just I still think that could happen because they apparently the Rockets like immediately once they got that pick they want to trade it immediately, but I mean they're still like it's just sad, kind of sad how the Knicks are a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals and God knows how long, and the Nets' biggest storyline is trying to trade up in one of the weakest drafts of all time and having to pay Ben Simmons and whether or not Cam Thomas is staying or Claxton is staying.
We've gone from Jacques Vaughn to Kevin Ollie to Yordi Fernandez. This team is a mess. This team could still fire Sean Marks just off the fact that that pick that the Houston Rockets have is now a top three pick. But they're not going to do that. The owner of the Nets was so vocal against his superstars.
And look what Kyrie's doing now with Dallas. I mean, he just needed that environment. I never went like salty on him because I knew how special he was as a player. I think he was always misunderstood.
Listen, man, it was a lot of nonsense. But I'll say this before we get back to the teams that are still playing in New York and competing and winning in New York. The Brooklyn Nets had it. They messed it up. I mean, KD's eliminated, but he signed his 4-year extension to still be a Brooklyn Net.
Imagine if that didn't happen. If that didn't happen, we'd be probably in the worst position in the entire NBA, but thankfully we got the Suns picks and even more Suns pick after that.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. I'm forever a Nets fan just because, like, I believe in that stay down till you come up.
Apparently they're like teasing a Vince Carter retirement jersey. You saw that?
I know that he's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and I see the Brooklyn Nets putting that stuff out on their Instagram. Man, they're late to retire his jersey number. And they're not going to play another game until October. I think what they're teasing is some type of tribute because they're, you know, he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But okay, if him going into the HOF is what it takes for the Brooklyn Nets to hang up a number 15 jersey in the rafters, you know, I'm always wearing my Vince Carter jersey. Vince needs to be respected. It was good to see him on the YES Network this past season, but Vince should be respected as a legend with the Nets. But, you know, they have a hard time. That's another thing, too. They have a hard time respecting the New Jersey history because they wanted to cross the river and be Brooklyn so bad, they put Brooklyn across the chest. You'll never see a New Jersey jersey on that floor in Brooklyn. And even when they made the throwbacks, they just went N-E-T-S across the chest. And it seems like they want to erase that part of their history. And I'm like, that's stupid because your fan base, a lot of us, like myself included, grew up in Jersey, still live in Jersey, and you're alienating us to perpetrate and be a New York team again when the Knicks have been here for 100-plus years and they have millions of fans, and their fans have gone across the country and across the globe, and now that they're good again, everybody is seeing them and feeling them outside of the Garden and everywhere beyond.